From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, as our guide. We also believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders brilliant and the solution to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution. We do need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. I would say that if we're going to support people who are running for office or who have run for office, as opposed to coming up with completely different candidates at this stage of the game, that it might be nice for, say, a Ben Carson and a Rand Paul to team up on a pro-life message. It would be apropos timing-wise. Pete thinks I'm crazy. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Sam. Yeah, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible combination right there. You're talking about boring and really boring. I'm not disagreeing with anything that they have to say. In principle, they're absolutely right. But these guys want to make you just fall asleep. No delivery.
You got a valuable point. However, we don't pick presidential candidates on their ability to entertain like Donald Trump necessarily.
Yes, we do.
Would you suggest should be the presidential candidates, sir?
I would say Donald Trump and Judge Napolitano.
All right, I would support Judge Napolitano in 2 seconds. The problem with Donald Trump is he's flat out immoral, and he attacks everybody, though. You just don't want somebody that's that volatile, that concerned with self to the point where anybody makes a statement against him that he's got to go belligerent. For any time you disagree with him or whatever, he just goes nuts. His immorality is a problem. He doesn't understand the supreme law. You don't know really where he stands on issues at all. So there's serious concerns with Trump, in my personal opinion.
Well, I think he understands the supreme law well enough. I mean, look at, we had Ronald Reagan. How well did he understand the supreme law? Anybody in that position is suspect. Let's face the facts. I mean, anybody in a position of power, you have to sleep with one eye open because these guys are capable.
All right, let's have Kurt respond, and then I got to fly to our guest. Kurt, you want to respond to a Donald Trump / Judge Napolitano?
My main reason for, enjoying the Trump candidacy is, like Pat Buchanan says, he's brought back nationalism. He's, done a very big hit against the globalists, the insiders. He pointed out a whole bunch of crazy stuff we do with our trade and our open borders. And so that's the good stuff there. But I long for a president like a George Washington or a Ron Paul, but, I don't see him on the horizon.
Not even in Rand. Pete's correct about that. One of the things that Rand Paul would do, more so than anybody else that I know in the field, at least on the national stage right now, would be to stand up for the right to work. Righttowork.org. Patrick Simmons with us as well. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Sam. Good to be with you.
Isn't Rand Paul, out of all the different candidates, the one that was most likely a real supporter of right to work?
Well, certainly his track record in the Senate was not just of supporting right to work, but of taking a leadership role in that. He was the sponsor. He introduced the National Right to Work Act in the Senate. Some of the other candidates co-sponsored it. Ted Cruz is a co-sponsor. He's made it an issue, made it a signature issue, I would say, and that's was encouraging about his candidacy, and of course made it a little bit disappointing, at least for me, when he finally dropped out.
So what do you think? Is Cruz and or Trump going to take this issue up at all? One, in their battle with each other before the primaries get solidified. Two, at the convention, might it be a hot topic? And or three, can we push this into the general election as a real issue?
Well, in terms of the primary, it's going to be up to them. Ted Cruz has signed a National Right to Work Committee survey 100%. Donald Trump actually did as well. It took a little bit of time, but he did return his and he that says that he'll support a National Right to Work Act. You know, obviously he doesn't have the track record on that. Ted Cruz had, when he first ran for Senate, had signed it, and then he followed up by becoming a co-sponsor. So, you know, people are going to have to evaluate on their own how that impacts them in the primary. It should be something that Republicans should all agree on. It should be an easy issue for Republican candidates to support.
I think it should be an easy issue for them to support. Also, with the latest twist at the courts relating to this, it should be one of the hottest topics in front of the American people, shouldn't it?
Yeah, certainly. You know, as you're alluding to, last week the court, you know, the Friedrichs case, which is the case we were very excited about, and it was one that could have ruled that no public employee anywhere in the country, and of course that in the 26 right to work states, it already exists that everyone has the choice on whether or not to financially support a union with their hard earned money. In the other states, they can be forced to pay money to a union just to work for their own government. We think that's outrageous. It's a violation of their First Amendment rights. They shouldn't be forced to subsidize union speech as a condition of literally just working for their own government. So that case made it all the way to the Supreme Court based on two previous cases, one and argued by National Right to Work Foundation attorneys in 2012, a case out of California called Knox v. SEIU. Later in 2014, a case called Harris v. Quinn came out of Illinois. And in those two cases, 5-4 majorities of the Supreme Court had really questioned legally, you know, if there's any support and how can it be consistent with the First Amendment to have these forced dues that the government's imposing as a condition of employment with a state agency, with teachers, that type of thing. In both those cases, they said a lot of good things, but they didn't actually get to that core issue. You know, it's been a very frustrating aspect of the Roberts Court that they'll rule narrowly when they can instead of addressing the bigger issue. And so the 5-4 in both those two cases, we won those. And then in Friedrichs, everyone expected we were going to get another 5-4 decision. And of course, then Justice Scalia died soon after the arguments before any opinions could be written. And so last week we got a one-sentence decision out of the Supreme Court that just said we're divided 4-4, and so therefore we leave the Ninth Circuit decision as the controlling case. And so it does. It shows just how important the Supreme Court's going to be. And certainly I think, you know, there's two ways to get at attacking the injustice of forced unionism, of the idea that any worker, public or private sector, can be forced to pay tribute to a union as a condition of keeping their job. And you know, of course, one of them is through the courts. That's what the National Right to Work Foundation does, 19 staff attorneys assisting workers, only workers, in protecting their rights and trying to strike down through the legal system. First Amendment is our best friend in that case to attack forced dues as a violation of freedom of association and free speech. But then, of course, there's also the legislative route. The National Right to Work Committee is the lobbying arm of the right to work movement, and it pushes for state right to work laws to end this at the state level, but also a National Right to Work Act, because ultimately this power is granted by the federal government as part of the National Labor Relations Act, and we therefore, you know, are trying to repeal it with the National Right to Work Act, and that's of course an issue that we'd love to see as part of the election even more. And I think in a general election, it really could be a wedge issue that could be very positive for a pro right to work candidate to attack someone like Hillary or Bernie Sanders, who has a long track record of supporting union bosses over the rights of rank-and-file workers.
And what's interesting about this is the discussion really is force versus agency. In the 4-4 decision, it leaves public sector union officials, forced dues powers in place. In other words, it's all by force, Patrick. And that's kind of the issue that your statement points out. And it basically says, you know what? They want you to believe that this 4-4 decision is a win. But really, you guys have 5-plus cases already still worming their way through the courts and everything else. This thing is not even about to be over. And it's really a misrepresentation by the mainstream press to declare it a win at this point. Because it leaves it in place. It doesn't really give them more authority or more power. It just doesn't give us the answer we want yet. However, we expect the Supreme Court to have to deal with this in a lot more detail coming up. Patrick Simmons will respond and give you more detail in seconds. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so the mainstream press and the Democrats are really pitching this as a huge win. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the 4-4 split decision. Leaves public sector union officials forced dues powers in place. Right now, it just doesn't really change the game. But let's not pretend this is a big win. You got a split court. You got a very confusing situation. And right now, they're just simply not willing to grant us what we want based on reality yet. But that doesn't mean that it was a huge win. I think that's kind of a misnomer, Patrick. Your response?
Yeah, you definitely are right about that. It's, you know, a lot of the headlines, oh, you know, big win for unions, and of course by unions they mean union bosses, not the actual people in it. But But certainly it's important to know, because this is 4-4, it's not a Supreme Court precedent. It's as if the Supreme Court never took the case to begin with. And so, you know, really where the ball is on the playing field when it comes to trying to enforce union dues, that hasn't changed at all. And so, you know, when the Supreme Court gets a ninth justice, as you were alluding to before the break, we have a number of cases that can work their way up to the Supreme Court pretty quickly. Five that specifically have First Amendment challenges to forced union dues as part of them. Those are in various courts across the country. We have one in Massachusetts. It's in state court. We have a few in federal court, one for state troopers in Connecticut, another for state employees in Illinois, another for school employees in Kentucky. We have a case for Railway Labor Act employees. So these are airline employees, not public sector, but because of the way the Supreme Court precedents are in terms of permitting up till now, or at least through their 1977 decision, forced dues for the public sector, it's basically the same issue there, because the federal law that says unions can force airline and railway workers to pay dues or be fired. And so the Supreme Court has basically said the same First Amendment issues are in Railway Labor Act employees as public sector employees. So there are five cases out there already. And of course, you know, we can add to that when the employees approach us and the sort of the facts are right. But this is not an issue that's going away. Some of those cases are already in the appeals court, which means the only step they can go after that is up to the Supreme Court. We think a cert petition in one of those cases could happen within 12 months, which goes to show how important it's going to be who that ninth justice is.
And that's why it's so important that I'm talking about. We need to make this an issue in the primary elections and in the general election, because the hotter topic it becomes, the more we stake out the arguments and deal with the debate, and the public weighs in support of your right to work. In other words, the rejection of forced union dues. We're not saying people can't join unions or people can't pay dues. What we're saying is that forced part needs to go. And what we're saying is forced unionism is a problem. And government mandating these things is a serious problem. The more we can articulate this issue, the greater chance when these five cases do hit the courts that we see daylight in terms of the truth, right?
Certainly. And I think you make a very important point, and that's kind of gets back to the core of why the right to work issue is very popular. I mean, the one of the last national polls, the Gallup poll, on right to work, it polled, and not only was it about 75-80% of Americans support right to work, but a majority, overwhelming majority of Republicans, overwhelming majority of independents, and a majority of Democrats all said they support right to work. So this is an issue where very much the people are on one side, and you have a small number of the elites on the other. They're propping up union bosses because the union bosses then turn around and use their forced dues power to keep elected officials that are friendly to them in office. And we need to break that cycle. And right to work is a great issue because it is something that there really is bipartisan support for. The more people want to make this an issue, whether it comes to the Supreme Court and who is going to be confirmed as a justice there, or elections at the state level, obviously for federal government and for the presidency. It's something where a true right-to-work, pro-right-to-work person can really take advantage of that and advance the message of limited government and constitutional republic and free freedom of speech and freedom of association.
Righttowork.org is the website, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Get involved today. what we really need is a massive educational campaign about what we're talking about, Patrick. And the reason I say that is because if you say to people, hey, what do you think of unions? A lot of people will say, well, we support unions. By golly, the bosses are too out of control. You got to have them. And in the early days of America, you know what? People were forced to work way too much and too hard and weren't treated fairly and kindly. There is an appropriate balance of power between employees and employers, and unions can help with that. But when you talk about unions, people are very pro-union in a lot of ways. But when you explain to them it's about the right to work, it's about being able to choose a union or not based on your own choices, it's about rejecting government getting in bed with quote, a labor organization, and it's about the rejection of this forced agenda they've got going. Once people get to understand the building blocks of what we're talking about, instantly everybody's on our side going, well, you know what? I agree we shouldn't have force in this mix. I agree we shouldn't have normal laws for normal people about abuse, but yet all the laws change when the, quote, union bosses have their way. We should let people be free to think and choose as they ought. And once you really get people's arms around that discussion, instantly, almost everybody's with us.
Yeah, very much, and that's why I talked about that polling. I mean, a lot of people, they hear unions, they think, hey, look, you know, that's a voluntary group of people getting together and deciding to you know, step up for their best interest. And if that's all unions were, then great. We would have no objection at the National Right to Work Foundation to a truly voluntary union funded through voluntary dues. That's fine with us. Nothing we are attacking in the courts with lawsuits or nothing that we're doing in the National Right to Work Committee is doing when it comes to pushing for legislation would impact that. It's about force. It's about the dual issues of force representation. The idea, first of all, a union official can say, I represent you against your will, like it or not, and whatever deal I strike, whatever contract I come up with, you're going to be subjected to, even if it hurts you. And that's one thing that's often missed in this, is that individual workers are frequently harmed by the terms of a union contract that's imposed upon them. You can look at school teachers. Let's say a lot of places are they really need math and science, really good math and science teachers. They can't find them. Unions say, no, you have to pay every teacher the same based on how many years they've worked. Never mind the fact that we have a lot of teachers in one subject and we can't find good ones in other areas. You can't reward that employee who is the most productive because the union contract says you have to treat everyone the same. No bonuses for those who do the best work. And so it's about forced representation, which harms workers, and then turning around and on top of that saying, you have to pay us for that representation that you disagree with and likely in many cases is harming you, is just totally offensive to our systems of freedom and the way that the Constitution is supposed to protect all Americans.
The battle rages on. We stand for choice and agency, ladies and gentlemen. RightToWork.org. Patrick Simmons will keep us up to speed on the five cases moving towards the Supreme Court now, and I urge you to, one, get involved with RightToWork.org and ask candidates all up and down the line, from your local representatives all the way up to President of the United States, where they stand. Will they help the next state become a right-to-work state? Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Sam.
There he goes, doing a great job.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Supporters of Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland refer to the judge as a moderate. Some Senate Republicans, among them Judiciary Committee veteran Orrin Hatch of Utah, have previously expressed support for Garland on that basis. Richard Painter, a former legal counselor to President George W. Bush, once described Garland as exactly the type of person who might have been chosen by the Bush administration. Libertarian commentator A. Barton Hinkle points out that Garland has earned his reputation as a moderate, as an appellate judge, by rarely voting against his colleagues. A New York Times analysis of 14 criminal cases in which Garland did dissent shows that on 10 of those occasions, his dissent supported the government position against the claims of an appellant. Hinkle observes that Garland supported the government's position denying habeas corpus protection for Guantanamo Bay inmates, a view that was later rejected by the Supreme Court, and Garland routinely supports executive branch administrative agencies. This is significant in light of the fact that most of the legal controversies that go to trial each year grow out of administrative measures rather than laws enacted by Congress. Roughly 10 times as many U.S. citizens are tried each year by federal administrative agencies than by federal courts. The Obama administration is considering cutbacks on federal funding sent to North Carolina for schools, roads, and other public services as punishment for the state's so-called bathroom law. That measure restricts bathroom access in public facilities on the basis of biological sex rather than self-defined gender identity. It also protects the property rights of entrepreneurs who may choose to decline certain business opportunities out of religious convictions, such as florists, bakers, or wedding photographers who have moral scruples against participating in same-sex wedding ceremonies. The New York Times reports that the administration, which sees the fight for gay and transgender rights as a continuation of the civil rights era, is reviewing the possibility of withholding billions of dollars in federal education and infrastructure funding. Clad in leather and obviously having a wonderful time, Hillary Clinton addressed a gathering of gay and lesbian celebrities at the Capitale Club in Manhattan's Tony Soho District, reports the New York Daily News. One campaign insider told the paper that Clinton promised to support transgender members of our military and modify U.S. passports to accommodate Americans who claim an unconventional gender identity. Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia is planning to create the world's largest sovereign wealth fund, estimated at $2 trillion, according to Bloomberg News. This would be large enough to purchase Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Berkshire Hathaway, the four largest publicly traded companies in the world. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio, brought to you in part by GimmeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, think GimmeLibertyFund.com. So, Kurt, there's so many issues that ought to be discussed in the campaigns. They had debate after debate after debate, but they just attacked each other and abused each other, and they didn't get to any of these real issues like right to work or any of these things. It's sad to see. Nevertheless, that's where we are.
It's a great point, Sam. And I was just listening to the Liberty News Daily report at the bottom of the hour with Will Grigg there. And, he mentioned one of his, I think it was his last story, talking about the Saudi prince or princes, I don't know how many of them, but anyway, they're going to talking about putting a $2 trillion fund together, and he said that could be enough to buy, Google, Microsoft, and Berkshire Hathaway, and seemed like one other company, but those guys have some cash with the oil, don't they?
Yes, they do, and there's a lot we could do with it. All right, two people have emailed in during the show, Kurt, that I want to talk about. TZ's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And TZ says, how can America ever be great again while we murder one out of every four babies?
Great point.
I just can't disagree with that point. It's a great point. TZ's right as rain. And that's why I say, ladies and gentlemen, this pro-life issue is vital. It's critical. If we're going to discuss war on women or anything else, how do we not put the abortion front and center in that? See, Trump is missing an incredible opportunity. But anyway, I don't get it. All right, yeah, Fred emails in.
Good work, TZ, by the way.
Fred emails in and says this. Sam, putting Trump and Cruz on the same ticket would not be smart. Okay, by the way, I didn't say we should. That was Pat Buchanan that said we should.
Mm-hmm.
He says then, not because they can't get along, although I don't think they can. That's another discussion. It would be a death sentence for Trump and possibly for Cruz as well. The globalists stand to lose billions, if not trillions, if TPP is stopped and if NAFTA and GATT are dismantled. I believe they would have Trump assassinated to keep their, quote, power and money. Cruz supports those deals, dislikes Trump, and strongly desires the presidency. Well, he's right about that, too. It would be JFK, Johnson, all over again. If they think Cruz would oppose TPP, NAFTA, and GATT, they might both be killed, making the GOP darling Paul Ryan president.
Good point.
This stuff is serious, Fred says. If I were Trump, I would never risk that scenario. I agree. And I don't think that putting Trump and Cruz on the same ticket's a good idea at all. I know that people have talked about it. I don't like Trump and I don't like Cruz. First off, I don't want to put Cruz anywhere near him being president because he's not constitutionally qualified to be president. That's my problem. Trump and Cruz don't get along. I doubt it'll happen. But you know what? Pat Buchanan's saying, hey, they got to stop the outsiders and do that. I've been proposing a Carson / Rand Paul ticket. However, you know what? Some people are calling in saying, Sam, you're insane. That's no good either. The caller that said that was no good said we ought to have a Trump / Judge Napolitano ticket. But Judge Napolitano's not going to stand for the unconstitutionality of Trump's proposals, Kurt, either.
That's a great point, Sam. You know, and on another topic, I was just recently reviewing our the DVDs we made for the 2014 trip to the National Press Club, Sam, about Are You a David? And it was just amazing to me to see the group of people that we put together there on Capitol Hill that did such amazing work. And I was just thinking that we'd like to offer those to any of the new members of the Give Me Liberty Fund, or I don't know how many people we could offer this to, but we do have a limited number of those. I just think they're a tremendous DVD.
Are you talking about the highlight DVD or the whole collection?
Yes. No, the highlight DVD is the one I was watching, and it was just impressive to see.
What are they, $15 with free shipping to their door, Kurt?
Say that again?
What are they, $15 with free shipping to their door?
You know, I don't know for sure how you want to do it. I didn't know if you'd want to do, for example, new members of the Give Me Liberty Fund might, get one for free or, whatever, but I hate to see them go to waste. They're a tremendous, presentation. Of course, it starts off with you at the podium talking about
you. That's why it's good in the first place, Kurt. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just
talking about
off.
Your opportunity on Capitol Hill where you asked the lady about the Constitution, and she was like, well, that's political. And you're like, what? But anyway.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Political? I didn't know the Supreme Law was really a political football there, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. It's crazy. But that's the world we find ourselves in, Kurt. Everything is political now except for the things that matter most. And they're not even talked about.
And you've got those highlights with Sheriff Mack, Sheriff Clark, Tom DeWeese.
And the cool thing is when you watch that video and you watch me introduce David Clark and he stands up there next to me, man, the guy's puny compared to me, isn't he, Kurt?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, the guy's huge. I just looked super teeny compared to this guy. So it's just crazy. He's big, very big. Good friend of mine. I really respect him. The fact that he's a Democrat and I'm not a Republican is not even important, Kurt.
Well, that's right. And like he pointed out in his little presentation, he said, hey, when I was under the gun and the primary and that kind of thing, I called on my friends. And, it didn't really matter their politics, if you will, just friends. And you know, he did great work, and we've appreciated his efforts ever since our first meeting with him. And then you have, our buddy, so many of the different ones. Chris Ann Hall does a great presentation. You've got Tom DeWeese just hitting it out of the park. Scott Bradley, you know, just amazing stuff there, right there at the National Press Club.
That's how we roll, brother.
Yep.
By the way, you want to get a copy, you can join the Give Me Liberty Fund, GiveMeLibertyFund.com. You can get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, and he'll ship you one for $15, including shipping to your door. You can do that also. So they're available now. Check them out. Now, I would support, Kurt, a Judge Napolitano / Tom Woods presidential ticket.
Wow. Just imagine that, huh, Sam?
Proposed Carson and Rand Paul just because they were already in the race, and all they'd have to do is unsuspend their campaigns, and they could make a lot of splash by going, the reason we unsuspended our campaigns and the reason we're switching to third party is because this pro-life issue is so important, we felt like we had to preserve our Christian heritage, kind of a thing. I don't think they'd be the best candidates. I'm just saying, for those who were already running, if you will. But if I had picked two guys to run, it would be Judge Napolitano and Tom Woods, personally.
Yeah, those would be...
Because you can't say either of them are too old. You can't say either of them are not educated. You can't say that either of them don't understand the Constitution. They understand nullification. They understand... I mean, you've even got a guy that can handle the health care situation in Ben Carson. You can't say that they're just a bunch of white males, you know. Yeah, it seems like as close to the perfect combination as I could find, Kurt.
Well, in that case, with... Tom Woods and Napolitano, you would say white males. That's one of the reasons I would say Sheriff David A. Clark and Sheriff Mack, you know, would be a great combination.
Right. I'm just saying that's why I said Ben Carson and stuff. If you had that in the mix, it would be that way. I'm just saying, but if I had my personal preference, I would just do the Judge Napolitano and Tom Woods, and they can call me a racist all they want to. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with those who I believe will be pure to the Constitution.
Yep, good point. It's always nice to at least, it's kind of the one little part of Martin Luther King that I agree with is the whole dream, you know, idea. And you know, sometimes we settle for a lot less than we should. And, you know, it's certainly nice to think about what we could have if we were to support a good quality candidate.
What about a Judge Napolitano Tom Woods ticket? Right now, I can't think of a better one. Can you think of a better one than that, Kurt? Let's take the break and ponder that and see if Kurt can come up with a better one. Maybe you callers at 866-986-NEWS can find a better one, huh? This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. People say we don't talk about solutions. I just gave you one. Can you think of a better one?
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, there's a lot of people that I'd support for president, ladies and gentlemen, but most of them are not even nationally known. They don't have a big name. They don't have any ability to raise money at all is the problem. What about a Judge Napolitano presidential ticket with Tom Woods, the vice presidential candidate, already picked, and they came out of the gate going, hey, we're third party. We're ready now. We need to stand for pro-life. We need to stand for nullification. We need to stand for the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and we're just going to get it done. What do you think?
You know, so many times, in my opinion, one of the great things about participating in the battle is that it affects the dialogue. In other words, you know, a Judge Napolitano, a Tom Woods, or, you know, Sheriff David A. Clark, so many... you know, Sheriff Mack's efforts, each one affects a little bit, at least, of the political picture. And, you know, that's one of the things that Trump has done is by pointing out the whole nationalism thing and the whole crazy stuff we have on the trade, he's brought those to the forefront. And so there's wisdom and there's good to be had by participating in the process, if you will.
So where do you think we go from here, Kurt? Any other suggestions for a better ticket?
You know, I couldn't really think of any, mostly because I, you know, kind of already shot my wad, I guess you could say.
Hey, don't say that.
That kind of thing. But, you know, as to current statesmen, if you will, I don't see that many available. You know, there's a few guys. You know, my favorite one of all our time, basically, is pretty much Ron Paul. And he's taught us much there.
There you go. There you have it. I'm emailing Tom Woods right now to see if he wants to come on the radio with us.
Yeah, it would be a great idea. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, he was one of the, in my opinion, one of my favorite speakers at our first Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event. About a 30-minute speech, basically outlining and detailing his, book called Nullification. By the way, we do have those available in the Liberty Roundtable bookstore for $5 a piece. You know, plus shipping and handling, but you can get, Tom Woods' book, Nullification, and man, when you see that big nullification stamp right across the front on top of Pelosi and Obama and Harry Reid, it just says it all, just the picture itself, but it outlines, in there, and you can check this out on YouTube at the CSPOA channel there. You can watch his 30-minute presentation, and you'll be thrilled to see that there are solutions to the federal overreach, and we just simply have to use what's been put there, especially by leaders like Thomas Jefferson. Tom Woods, great individuals together, kind of like Tom Woods says in his presentation. It's like if he and Wilt Chamberlain were playing basketball, he'd be like, well, we're going to win, you know. And when Thomas Woods teams up with Thomas Jefferson about nullification, they're going to win. So good stuff, Sam.
Yeah, all right. I just emailed the Tom Woods website to see if tomwoods.com to see if he wants to go ahead and jump on the radio with us. We had him in our event, and I just said, hey, you want to come on the radio? And I want to learn more about his radio show as well, Kurt. He's got some interesting stuff up there.
Of my favorite presentations there was, of course, our buddy Joe Bannister. You can watch all these, of course, on the YouTube channel, but we have Stephen Pratt. It was just loaded, and of course, to say nothing about Sheriff Mack's presentation, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
What about a third-party presidential ticket? We've got to find somebody that we can actually vote for, Kurt, is the problem that I'm having. Right now, there's nobody that I can even vote for in good faith, Kurt. Nobody. And I don't know how we're going to do it. Are we going to put Kurt Crosby on the ticket? I mean, at least I can vote for Kurt.
You know, and I'm confident there will be, I know the Constitution Party will be meeting, later to select their candidates, and I will probably be voting that way. I'm not sure right now. I'm I guess you could say, an Independent American Party member, where I've recently signed up to.
You're not a Constitution Party member anymore, huh?
Well, I just figured this year I'd switch over. I've literally been to...
That's too bad. You get a limited number of actual freedom-loving constitutionalists, and they got to split between those two now, huh? Just divide and conquer, and we lose every time, don't we?
I figured this way you could be one and I could be the other, and we're all for no party parties is what we're really for, you know. That's what we need to be pushing, the idea of getting rid of all the parties.
Yeah. I guess there's a big lawsuit you got to know about, Kurt.
What's that?
I guess it's a CBS got sued over Judge Judy's $47 million salary.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess she profits from syndicated series. Do you have the details on this one?
Well, there's no money in media, Sam. I mean, really, these guys are just serving the people, of course, and Judge Judy is a great example. $47 million for a judge. I mean, you can see why she wouldn't want to go on the Supreme Court. Anyway, it's amazing, isn't it, how much money there is in the big media. And of course, in the alternative media, or the media like we're in, is very little, if any, there. But in my opinion, it's a vital role that we have to play to try to improve things. But CBS, they're part of the big media. And when they let out those contracts and tell how much they pay their news babes, et cetera, their newsmen, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and they break down who else got paid a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
I guess they talk about Jon Stewart. He got, $30 million?
Well, I mean, he's got expenses, Sam. The poor guy can hardly make ends meet. I mean, that's only, a little less than $3 million a month. I mean, you'd be having tough times at that rate, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
These are people that are, in touch with America. You know what I mean? The average American. That kind of thing.
What? So Judge Judy got $47 million. John Stewart gets like $30 million. Then they go right on down the list of all these people that just get so much money, it's hard to even fathom.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Kurt, we don't even get $100,000. We don't even get $50,000.
That's right. Good point. But, you know, at least in my opinion, we can sleep at night a lot better than some of those guys that get told, hey, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. You know, we've actually got some principles we can stand for.
Well, and that's why we do what we do, Kurt, regardless of the money. And sad to say, you know, it'd be nice to have enough money to make the show easier to grow, okay? However, I wouldn't want the money they've got, because what'll happen is if you get that kind of money, you have a different view, a different attitude about who you are, about what you're doing. Things change. And so, sure, I'd love a little bit of support, and the donors can contribute at libertyroundtable.com. I'd love to be able to grow the show and have enough money to prosper. But I wouldn't want that kind of a money, because at some point, if you're not careful, you get derailed from your mission.
Good point. Good point.
So,
and by the way, we want to thank everybody who does put in a dime or a nickel or whatever, a penny our way. We sure appreciate it.
Or maybe we should be like Trump. We should insult them, and then we'd get more support. Maybe that's how we ought to roll. I'm just teasing, ladies and gentlemen. It's just crazy, the society we live in.
Yeah.
You know, women just love to get abused, and, you know, then Trump fans love to get abused, it almost seems. Now, I'm not really saying women love to get abused. I'm just saying it seems like that. When Hillary is doing so well, talking about the war against women, right, it's kind of hard to fathom. Because she's been promoting abortion and abuse to women forever.
Good point.
And so that, I don't really believe women deserve or want abuse. I'm just saying it seems that way, though. Because the more hostile towards women our society gets, the more they kind of think, oh, Sam, your views, you're just trying to create women barefoot and pregnant and in the bed of the kitchen, kind of an idea. And then I go, wait a minute, I'm standing up for women's rights and for pro-life. And then they just say, Sam, you're crazy. And then everybody backs Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And in their own ways, they're abusing women more so than we could ever imagine. And so it seems like the more abuse you heap out, the better support you get in today's society. Well, would rather show forth a little love rather than that kind of abuse. And so we'll just take the support we can get in love. How's that? LibertyRoundtable.com if you guys want to participate in the solutions today. By the way, our new website, incredible new news service, LibertyNewsDaily.com. Check that out as well. It's tremendous. It should be your everyday visit website, LibertyNewsDaily.com, for news the networks refuse to use. Our broadcast is available on demand. Tell all your friends about it, LibertyRoundtable.com. You can also check out LibertyNewsRadio.com for unique hosts and 24/7 talk shows. In addition, RepublicBroadcasting.org for incredible talk shows. This nation shall endure.